Well, welcome to Mind Your Manners. Today I have Walt McAtee with me from Celestia Productions.
That's right.
Great to have you. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Okay. Walt McAtee, I'm designer and writer of the latest edition of Harmaster from KP, Celestia Productions. We've shortened it down, HMK, we call it. It's Harmaster Role-Playing in the World of Kythera. And it actually, I just received email notice, this morning and yesterday that the shipments are being sent out from, Standard Impressa is our manufacturer in Lithuania.
Yeah. They produce some awesome books.
Yeah. Yeah. I own Free League products and, Modiphius, I think, uses them too. But anyway, you can't beat the Free League books, I think, and I was very happy with how it's turned out, but the shipments are on the way, so we're hoping books on people's doorsteps, at least in Europe, by the end of the year, and probably into January for us over here in North America and Canada and the rest, but they've started this week, the shipments, so...
Excellent. Yeah, I want to come back to the topic of books because it's kind of a departure for
right. That's
for
right.
Harn,
yes. Yeah.
From tradition, but I want to start off with, you know, the kind of the pro forma. How did you get into RPGs? How did you find Harn and get into design? So
sure. Well, the without going too far back, I was a PhD student in comparative literature. Left after my master's to become a rock star and spent 33 decades doing that, and actually enjoyed every minute of it. Wrote a couple of hundred songs, spent time in New York. I'm from Kentucky, and I've been back into Kentucky for over 20 years. Had some fair success in licensing, but moved on from music and struck up a relationship with Jeremy Baker and Ken Snellings at Celestia Productions, and later on Ariel Crosby, especially in the last couple of years. Of course, Robin's daughter, who's the trademark holder. And Jeremy reached out to me years ago to tell you the truth. I was just making posts in a forum on the rules for ship sailing and that sort of thing. The Pilot's Almanac was the original publication, and KP has at the time had plans for the maritime rules. We still have plans for it. So he brought me in years ago to work on that. And I essentially completed it, 80% completed. And at the time I pitched the idea of a new edition.
Let's go back just a little bit further.
Sure.
How did you even find Harn? What was your intro?
Yeah, right. Oh, okay. Sure. Well, let's see. I'm trying to think, I guess it would have been what's kind of called HM2 now, the core binder rulebook, was what I just saw on my local store shelves back in the 90s. And just bought it mainly based on the injury table is on the back of it. And I was intrigued by that. But I come from, in terms of my gaming history, I'm old enough to have actually started out on Avalon Hill War Games first. I'm an old squad leader player, advanced squad leader, and played that for years as a 12-year-old, 10-year-old before I even knew of D&D. But of course, D&D was soon discovered and played, and not soon thereafter moved on from, and quickly discovered, I guess, my original RPG fandom is around Chaosium and RuneQuest, and probably have played more Call of Cthulhu than any other game other than Harnmaster. So quickly fell in love with the D100 skill-based system, which, of course, Harnmaster owes or is in the legacy of
Yeah, that was an easy transition coming from all the BRP systems.
Yeah, the BRP, right, exactly. Played Traveler over the years, but kind of all the big kind of non-D&D games, at least back in the 80s and 90s. And so that's the gaming history. I did, I guess I played D&D up until third edition, inclusive of third edition. I have a couple of thousand miniatures in my basement that are gathering dust. I play exclusively Theater of the Mind, whether it's online or in person. I just find it more efficient. Every now and then, of course, I love the Harn tradition of local maps and region. And of course, the map that you're showing, of course, is Venari Bay. So I'll drill down to the local map level, reference interior maps when I have to, but it's I just find games go more quickly. I feel it more imaginative, but I play other games with miniatures and more on the war game side. But for RPG play, I just find Theater of the Mind the most efficient and kind of rewarding. So.
Yeah, my group's been going the same way. We were playing Call of Cthulhu, now we're playing Traveler.
Oh,
okay. And, you know, we've used some geomorphs and things like that just to set the stage. But to just halt everything and set up a board and, like, start to draw things. And,
right.
Or you know, my favorite is trying to translate, like, a GM map that's beautifully illustrated but has all the secrets on it for the players without giving it away.
Yeah. Look, I was full bore into third edition with miniatures and drawing maps for all my sessions, and it finally broke me of that. Now this, of course, there's, you know, there's plenty of products you can buy to help with that. But you know, the strange and just a quick tangent on the miniature play, the quality or the experience that finally got me back to Theater of the Mind was I was a player in a longtime Pathfinder campaign. Mm-hmm. It was one of the Pathfinder adventure modules, you know, the 96-page, very detailed. And a friend was DMing. And at the end of it, week in and week out, when I reflected on the game, about the action and the story, I found myself seeing what was in my mind's eye was merely me looking down on the miniature map, which was kind of jarring to me. When I reflect on games that are purely imaginative, I remember the scenes more like a movie.
Yeah,
you know, that might not be everyone's experience. And like I said, I own a couple of thousand miniatures, so it's not like I dislike miniatures, but it was a bit jarring for me to only remember the story through the view of the miniature play. And I consider that a loss. And so since then a friend of mine agreed with me, and it was a great game master. It had nothing to do with that. The story was fun. You know, those Pathfinder adventures are quite detailed and it wasn't necessarily, well, you know, it wasn't necessarily that it was just D&D either, or D&D adjacent, but it really had to do with that. And this was all in person also. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been delighted with how the various platforms online, I would say in large part, you're able to recreate the in-person experience. It's not really that much different. I think there might be for me as a game master, I top out at maybe three players.
Yeah, it's a lot to manage.
Right. In person, I can usually go one or two more people, but somehow online, when it gets to four or more, it just seems a diminishing return. And actually, we can get into this with Harn Master. I'm a big proponent of one and two player campaigns, even when they're just playing one a single character. I find the three person experience of one game master and two players to be the most enjoyable. And you can add secondary characters if you want. Anyway, so but I just wanted to share that move.
One of my earlier interviews was with Eric Vulgaris, who was running Pendragon for two players.
Oh, sure. Right.
And that just works so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone gets their time to shine.
Right.
One of the things that you lose with online play is the ability to have those little side conversations and those little interactions that, you know, either move things forward on the side while other people are making decisions. or playing out their turn, because you just, you can't talk over them, right?
Right.
And you can't, you can't whisper, and you know, you do lose that element, but you know, with a small enough group, it's not necessary to have those.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's
when you have six people at the table, that's a different story.
Right. Yeah, or six, five video screens. There's just much more, I guess, interruptions, or the attention, the focus seems to, for everyone, you know, it seems to diminish a bit.
But everyone has a clarifying question.
Right.
Well, why don't we talk HMK?
Okay.
I would love to hear, you know, you already mentioned that you're working on maritime rules, and
right,
you know, you said, hey, why don't we look at a full update to make this really work?
Right.
When that pitch came up, what was the discussion about in terms of taking Hard Master Gold, the prior edition, and updating it? Where did things need to go?
Right.
From where they were at, like, did you feel like it needed modernization? Was it a representation?
You know, a little bit of that. I guess I would. I remember my pitch, and I divided it into two sort of aspects. Some of this is in the prologue to HMK, so I might be repeating myself. But the two sides of it are from a publishing side and from a game design side, which are really mutually exclusive, meaning you can publish any type of game system with the following points in mind. But I felt like, I do remember coming across an RPGNet forum discussion about at this time. You know, this is over 5-7 years ago. It's been quite a while. And it was a classic Harnmaster forum of, you know, what can we do to make it more popular for people? Because Harn has been around for 40 years, right? But it's, you know, always been a niche game. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, you could almost argue outside of D&D and maybe two or three others, they're all niche games. Maybe less so now. I mean, there's some that are, but certainly Harn has been, but it's never gone away, and its fan base is very strong, and the people who play it love it. And so from a publishing side, though, I think it had reached a point, and the fanon support is very strong and of high quality. You know, it's been said, you know, there's been millions of words written about the Harn or the world of Kythera, and maybe several millions. So it's not lacking for description, but the primary publishing question, is it a game to be played or just collected? Mm. Now, I own hundreds of RPGs, probably 90% of which I'll never play. So I'm a collector, and specifically just RPGs. I don't play as many war games. I have a decent old tabletop war game collection, but it's, you know, I bought Simbarum, you know, yep. I bought Call of Cthulhu 7th edition, which I've actually played. You know, I keep up on, there's a handful of games I'll buy every edition, Warhammer, RuneQuest. But Harnmaster, I think from a publishing standpoint, had reached, is it really meant to be played and or merely collected? And I think that comes from one of the problems. I said this directly to Celestia Productions, to Jeremy and Ken. I think in some ways it lacked a clear point of entry. And especially in the, certainly in the last 10 or 15 years, we've come accustomed to almost all games. Of course, the clearest point of entry is an intro box set. But I just meant just with Harnmaster and Harnmaster Gold, I felt like it needed a unified publishing manifestation, a book. You know, 300-400 page book with everything in it you need to play. And so that was my primary pitch, that it needs to be refocused. Now, from a game design, there's a handful. I don't know if that was my first.
No, I think it does. It's definitely an interesting point of view, because, you know, I've been picking up Harn over the course of just the past year.
Right.
So I'm very new, and I was, you know, trying to piece together all these disparate articles from different sources and things like that, and trying to get the complete picture.
Right.
And
but you have to work at it.
You do have to work at it.
What can be enjoyable. I don't want to diminish the collector, the harvesting aspect of it. You know. But sorry, I interrupt. Yeah, but go ahead. Yeah, it is.
No. I mean, for someone that is brand new, it's like, okay, how do I pick a look? I have to pick up if I'm going to run it as Harnmaster.
Right.
You know, there are a variety of sources. You've got different geological strata of eras.
Sure. Right. Right.
There's kind of a lot to it. And you know, I'll let you continue here.
I was going to say, you touched on another aspect that's related to a clear point of entry. Is I'll be my attraction to I'll say the world of Harn, not necessarily just in the traditional sense of the island or even Kythera, the world, but the hobby of Harn as an RPG experience. My attraction to it was primarily the system. Mm-hmm. Which is in some ways, I don't know if it's the minority or if it's unique, but I am going back to my BRP roots, I felt like in many ways, Harnmaster is superior. And I certainly am biased now and feel like it did a lot. According, the classless skill-based D100 system is not new, and it wasn't new in 1986. But certain details of it were genius. I feel like it's critical. We can talk about, the basic mechanic, but it's critical success and critical failure dice mechanic is superior to the BRP approach. It just is. There's no math involved. Basically, when you roll a D100, it's just like BRP. If you roll equal to or less than a 1 to 100 number, it's success. But if the secondary die, the second 10, usually it's with two D10. If it ends in a 5 or a 0, it's a critical result. So if it was a success, it's a critical success. And if it was a failure, it's a critical failure. And you know that the moment the dice stop rolling, which sounds unimportant, but as much as, with BRP, you have to have the 5% and the 20% tables. And obviously, RPG players are quite intelligent, and so that they can do that math automatically. But I just find the D100 family, the Harnmaster critical result is the best. It's superior also to Warhammers, where if you roll doubles, I feel like that's a little infrequent for a critical result. And then also you get into the problem that with the Warhammer system, doubles only arise. It's imbalanced. There's only 4 criticals, 50 and below, but there's 6, 51 and above. But that's kind of in the weeds. But my point is, Harnmaster is a system to be celebrated. And all game masters of any game system are going to make their homebrews, and they're going to tweak the rule systems. And even to the extent of bringing in other game systems to play in the world. Harn, the publishers of Harn have encouraged that, which I think has been a mistake. As much as I respect Fate and Savage Worlds and Powered by the Apocalypse, I think Harnmaster is the system, the best system to play. And the games theoretically it's all systems neutral, but I'm not convinced by that argument. Certainly not for the world of Harn, Kythera.
I do find games that are like fully integrated between their setting and their rule system to be more compelling.
Yeah. Yeah. Intellectually, creatively, but also financially and logistically. You open the book and you can start playing. Now people can, and there's a great free, I think it's free, must be, upload to play, to use D&D. Bill Gant, I believe, has posted it on DriveThruRPG and has thousands of downloads. Of course, Bill Gann is a star among Harn players, and we all, whatever Bill does, I'm fine with. So I like the idea of bringing in D&D players because the world is worthy of gaming in it. I would disagree that D&D is the system to play in it, but if you enjoy that, then look for Bill's PDF.
There are those tables out there that won't play anything other than that.
Yeah, know. Right. Yeah. And millions of D&D players every month are playing. So, you know, but so let's see. There was the publishing.
I want to go back to one thing that you said, which was, you know, you had a concern about it being a system that was built only to be collected.
Right.
And is that concern with the way it was previously presented or the fact that it is a bit of a crunchier, more simulationist system?
No. It was how it was presented and the divorce of Harn Master from Harn World. I think Harn Master is its equal, its partner in its in strength for why people should game is not merely the world, but the system, especially BRP brothers and sisters. I would say there's no doubt you would enjoy Harn Master. And in a couple of places, you know, because RuneQuest still uses hit points, right? So it's got the D100 right, and it's got the skill-based right, but they didn't quite get the hit point right. I'm being facetious, but Harn Master, the injury system is integral
I would include Mithras in that discussion as well.
Right.
You know,
right.
Is right at home with some of their mythic settings and things like that. So the audience for Harn should be fairly expansive.
Yeah. Right. So it was the publishing side was unifying a product to purchase with all the ingredients in it. And I understand the article legacy of Harn Master, which was unique in itself, the binders and that sort of thing. I've just always wanted a hardback 400-page Harn Master book. It's as simple as that.
Well, now we've got it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah.
Did you actually have to pitch the book as opposed to Loose Leaf?
No, not at all. I did pitch it and encouraged that we do that, which is a bit of the modernization in that sense, modernization of publishing. I think it's more expected. But it was just, you know, like with all things creative, certainly I learned this from songwriting. You write the songs you wish you could hear. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to publish the Harn Master game I wish I could have bought.
Yeah.
In terms of it being a 400-page hardback, you know, I just wanted it. And so we set out to do it. So that's essentially the publishing argument, I would say, of what I pitched to Jeremy and Ken, and ultimately to Ariel.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the specifics you felt needed to change or that you implemented.
Yeah.
You know, what was the first thing that you, when you sat down, you said, okay, here's Harn Master Gold.
Right.
This is our starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you even start to tackle that?
Okay. The first thing is what you don't change. You don't change D100 skill based. It's already a simple mechanic. I did 6 months of research of a D10 version of a simple, if you want to talk simplified or modernized. And I said, no, it files off the numbers too much. And really the lesson of BRP, right, is rolling a D100 success or failure is simple. It's been around for 50 years. 1978 was when RuneQuest was released. It was simple from day one, 45 years ago, however long ago, 50 years ago. And it's still simple today. So you don't need to change that. I think in terms of the crunch, I have four or five categories of things. One are and this will get into some details, and maybe that's what you're going for. Aspects of Harn Master that never existed. And strangely enough, there's a couple of skills that have been on Harn Master character sheets for 40 years, but have never really received treatment. Astrology, territory. So I wanted game crunch. When you open up the astrology skill, I want it to do something. It's fine that game masters can dial that up or back. I know there's a healthy 40-year history in Harn play of dialing down everything arcane to where you're nearly playing historic Terra, right? Or at least what most people believe 13th century, you know, Terra was like, where maybe even magic is dialed down. So certainly you could play Harnmaster with astrology being fake, but but that's not how it's really been presented. Astrologers are described as part of the Arcane Guild. So the first category was really trying to provide rules that were never treated. And that's not an extensive list, but just to name a few, astrology, tarot, how do you address that? The second category were things, and this is a judgment call, that I felt were inadequately addressed. I think shamanism has been given a passing description of what it is and often treated as just tribal religion. But I really turned to Crosby's own words most recently in his 2006 On Divinity PDF. And he used the words that date back decades, but he described shamanism as a gray area, an in-between, not magic, but not miracle. And so I really wanted to embrace that as a third. Came to embrace the term mysteries, so that you have arcane, astral mysteries and divine mysteries. So that I would describe shamanism is not that it never existed in previous publications, but I felt like it was inadequately. And then also, and specifically in terms of shamanism, a lot of credit. Most of the credit goes to Ken Snelling's and his conversations with Crosby. Of course, he passed in 2008, but Ken provided me with some email transcripts. And so the shamanism you find in HMK is very much based upon their discussion of it, you know, 15 years ago. Things that never existed, things that I felt were inadequate. There's a third category of what I would describe as restorative game mechanics. And I'll just give you one example. And there might not be a lot of them, but one particular crucial restorative feature, and this goes into the weeds of Harnmaster, is restoring location-based shock rolls so that when you get hit in the head, your shock roll is more lethal of the same injury level than getting hit in the elbow. Now, the Harnmaster 1 injury tables had that, and every edition since has lost it, and it needed to be restored. HMK restores that. Most specifically, you know, for people not completely familiar with Harnmaster, you have three injury levels, minor, serious, and grievous, similar to the breakdowns in BRP, but they don't use those specific words, I believe, maybe close synonyms. But now when you take a minor injury to the skull, there's a risk that you fall unconscious. And no addition since the first allows for that. So it was a restorative rule that I didn't create. Now I've streamlined it a little bit differently than from the first edition. And then it was actually completely lost in Harnmaster Gold. Crosby used a similar table to Harnmaster 1, but got rid of the location-weighted shock roll.
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, one, having those little elements creates their own story within that fight, right?
Right, right.
Like, so it's going to drive narrative.
Yeah.
You also have a depth that's going to carry through because, you know, let's say you have a grievous injury that you end up recovering from.
Right. Right.
That's still going to have knock-on consequences in your story, in your game.
Mm-hmm.
All these little pieces end up building out the story of your campaign or mm-hmm. you know, your adventure or anything like that. So I found that very cool.
Well, it's one last thing I'll say on this particular example of the location-weighted shock. Mm-hmm. The importance of restoring it gets to the argument that Harnmaster is meant for Harn World, for Kythera, you know, the island of Harn, for gaming in Harn. And what I mean by that is the level of what I would call naturalistic in a literary sense, but the naturalistic detail provided over the last 40 years, the maps, the cultural treatises, right? You know, we have plenty of detail on the world, but it's important to have a system that that interacts with that world on a similar level of detail. This is why I'm a huge defender of the hit locate, the Harn Master hit location, that level of detail is almost, well, I don't know if it's mimicking, but it's functioning in the very same way of the millions of words of description about the cultures, that you need that level of specific detail to use a phrase that's, I guess, fairly common, that keeps the entire experience harmonious. Mm-hmm. I find Harn Master harmonious with the detail of the world. I'm not convinced by, you know, that age old debate of, is it the system or is it the game master? Well, it's certainly the game master, but it's the system. There's no way around it. And so that level of detail, to the restorative detail of, you know, yeah, taking a minor wound to the head with the chance of certainly being stunned, incapacitated or unconscious, is a naturalistic reality that is crucial. And I think and is important to gaming in a world that whose authors otherwise similarly describe in such detail, if that makes any sense. But
yeah, I guess what you're getting at is kind of what makes the game actually feel Harnic, as opposed to just any other fantasy setting or any other fictional history
setting
or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because that's something I've been struggling to put my finger on, because you can mm-hmm. read infinite articles, but when it comes to putting it out at the table, what actually makes it feel like Harn?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So if you're playing
go ahead. No, keep going.
If you're playing 5th edition, set in Harn, what makes it feel like Harn and not just a reskinned version of Forgotten Realms or something, right?
Have Bill Gant on the podcast. No, I'm serious. I'd like to hear his thoughts, but it's a great treatment, D&D treatment he does. So yeah, I'd be interested to hear. I will notice almost all D&D treatments in Harn, you start lopping off levels, right? You max out in hit points. You start doing things that are very un-D&D like in order to fit into Harn. Well, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you're also kind of trapped with the way that magic is defined in D&D, right?
Yeah.
Although
I'd say the magic of D&D is almost the easiest part to translate. And of course, the magic system of Harn Master is my favorite of all games. But the D&D magic, I think it's the hit point and level topic, I guess, that you have to address. So, but anyway, you know, the other, I wish I had come up with this description, but there's a Harn contributor that I have in mind. I won't mention his name, but he brilliantly described, and maybe it's been described this way several times, but I never thought about it this way, but in the Harn Master combat, you acquire injuries.
Hmm.
You don't lose hit points. It's not a countdown to zero, which is of course how hit points function, but it's the acquisition of injuries. And it's how you acquire them in the real world, right? And that's the other thing, the connection, the importance of Harn Master to gaming in Harn World is that there are very few game concepts or even terms that the players use that their characters in world don't use.
Hmm.
You know, there's synonyms for minor, serious, and grievous, but both player and character are likely using a version of them.
What's the word for that? Diegetic?
Yeah, I think. Right. And that gets to maybe it's the literary background, but I think that gets to the naturalism in this 19th century sort of way of attention to detail. You know, the gaming term people use is gritty, I guess. Mm-hmm. Gritty has a combination or a connotation of kind of precipitous, you know, it's or dangerous, right? But I think also gritty gets to this naturalistic term of there's just not a lot of concepts on your character sheet that are not also spoken by your character in the world. And that's hugely, because yeah, you don't. So that's and it gets into the divide, and BRP does that to a large extent also. So I find that's the one thing that attracted to me to that harmony. Kind of going through these lists of what I claim are disharmonious details that have either were never in Harm Master to begin with or have arisen over the years. Go ahead.
Was there anything you had to fight to keep or fight to drop?
No,
or that you really felt like?
I think there were some, yeah. Oh, there was a couple of things. Yes. I would say, you know, I've introduced a couple of new mental attributes. I wanted a little more detail in what is just generally described as intelligence. So and this has been done before in previous games. I was a big fan of Heavy Gear and always liked their attribute of creativity. And I like the reasoning creativity bifurcation. So I've introduced and lobbied for creativity. Also, I think many of the stories played out over the years are very political in nature. You know, there's a skill called intrigue mm-hmm. on your character sheet. So it's you can play very Game of Thrones type of adventures. And I think it required an expansion of a couple of attributes, but also an expansion of a few skills and eloquence. I wanted to be a little broader than merely the sonorousness of your voice. I wanted to, you know, eloquence speaks to in some ways a subdivision of intelligence, right? So eloquence and then empathy, you know, the social perception. So there are a couple of added attributes, which have been embraced. It was nothing I had to fight for. But I can see where we offer in HMK a simplification of perception into a single attribute. And it's not to say that your smell and hearing, which have been traditionally, and some people consider that a fingerprint of Harn Master, of having a smell attribute, a sense of smell, a hearing ability and sight ability. And you can still do that in Harn Master and HMK. In fact, there's a dedicated table, skills table, and actually a dedicated character sheet, where if you want the traditional Harn Master triple sense attributes, you can play. There's actually some interesting argument to be made that this that people experience the world through their senses a little more unified, actually, than you would intuitively think. It's where intuition is often incorrect. But that's really not why we're using a single perception attribute. It has more to do with the character type. So when you roll a 13 perception, it's assuming that all three of your senses are essentially a 13. But of course, if you take an eye injury, you incur penalties to perception checks involving vision. So it's all very common sense. But that was a slight, there's some pushback on, and some people still don't accept it. But that's why we offered a full, it's optional, but it's not even optional in the sense that it's lesser. It's a parallel skills table that still uses eye, smell, and hearing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Every chapter has its own optional rules, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's, you know, we almost touched on it, but just like the various routines that you have in the book.
Right.
You know, you mentioned so many of the games go in a, like kind of a political direction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got a conspiracy routine in there.
Right. Right.
Just like, you know, as a game master, that's so handy to have, you know, five different sets of persuasion skills with detailed right. routines. I will tell you, the first time I started reading this,
okay.
kind of went a little cross-eyed.
Yeah, you know, sure.
It's a dense detail. Book.
Yeah, but, it's dense. Yeah.
You know, for all these different systems, I reread it and everything just kind of clicks. And it's like, okay, this is actually elegant. It's presenting a deep system.
Right.
But it's, you know, actually fairly straightforward once you get right. into it.
Well, you know, The way you phrase that at least speaks to me in one of my favorite aspects of Harn Master. And yeah, and I guess BRP also, but D100 skill based, but no feats, which I know has been, sort of the singular game design concept of the last 30 years, maybe even longer, but certainly since third edition, where you have this added layer of character description that I've always found unnecessary, and I would say almost confusing. And so, I guess what I was speaking to is, yeah, some of the routines in HMK and traditionally in Harn Master can go into some detail, but the driving game mechanic, what the player needs to know, has always been very simple. And it's that D100 mechanic that I described at the top of the podcast. That's really all you need to know. There's a couple of twists on using it, but I was always exhausted by the extra layer of feats, right? Iron will. Well, why not just have a higher will? Why not have a will attribute to begin with and then just raise it? So you don't need, there's some cultural arguments that maybe like, the horse cultures, I'm looking at, of Carrefour, yeah, the central Lithia plains. Okay, you might want to give them a feat called Extraordinary Rider or something, but that's covered 95% of the time by just the skill and various other culture-based skills. Just give them an extra development point. I kind of inserted that maybe at a strange point, but something you said about that, despite the Harn Master system is simple, and it doesn't have a very high level of player skill level. See what I'm saying? Like, and that's one of the enjoyments I think of D&D.
Well,
All
there's enjoyment and mastery over something.
yeah, that's fair. But God, do we have time for that? Can
No,
we
no one
start?
does.
No, I mean we look the let's all face it. Also, the hobby,
My
we.
players can barely show
Yeah, you can't get players to show up. You can't find a game master. I mean, so it's very hard. Yeah, and maybe the mastery of the game is all that's left, right? You never play the game, but you buy the splat books and the hundreds of feats, the character build concept, and but yeah, I don't know. It was a slight tangent, but I don't think. But I think it's one of the strengths that just doesn't need to be touched. And
No,
in fact,
it does have it, the game system does have its own language though.
It's true. Yeah. Mastery level, this sort of
Mastery
index.
level, effective mastery level,
Right.
there's
It's true.
convocation levels. There's a couple different things that it
That's
kind of
right.
sprawls out, but they're all effectively either your skill level or your modified skill level.
Yeah.
And once you make that connection, everything just kind of clicks.
Yeah. Simplification, which I know is kind of a game design, it's a popular term, I guess. We sort of equate people. People have written more extensive histories of the hobby than I have, so we all know sort of the arc of that. And there's a sense of simplification often gets married to narrative approach, right? And there's plenty of systems that are where you strip back a lot of the dice rolling and such. But that actually takes you back to about 1975 in a lot of ways. There's no simpler game than original D&D. And there's very, the dice rolling is, every, so I'm not necessarily sure if simplification is the way we want to go. And like I mentioned, I did a 6-month dive into a simplified Harn Master, and I don't think that's the way to go. The system is simple as it is in a elegant way.
Yeah, and well, it's the book is well organized as well. I will say, to draw a parallel with the Traveler game I'm running currently, Manga's
Okay.
second edition, everything's spread over a bunch of different books.
Right,
You
right.
know, it's a simple mechanic, you're rolling 2d6,
Right,
but
but
if you're going to have
you
procedures for things, you have to go find it, and
Right. Well,
that
that's
is not
good
a
to hear.
problem here.
But the simplification, so with that said, that I do, I don't believe in the simplification mantra necessarily across the board. But I do believe, but there's certain interactions of Harn Master that needed good old fashioned streamlining, and I think that, and that's the injury table. I always wanted an injury table that could fit on a character sheet. I never liked the that it was always something that the game, and of course as a player you can print out all the rules you want and have it there. But I'm a big fan of no bigger than 2-page character sheets. People can have their booklets. In fact, you know, there's some people constructing some gorgeous HMK character sheet booklets, and that's fun. I actually prefer 1-pagers with nothing on the back, but I wanted a 2-page character sheet where every player had all their armor and hit location and shock information included. And that required getting away from moving beyond, simplifying Harnmaster Gold's HM1 based.
I don't own gold.
Gold can still be a great, you can combine. Harnmaster is not so straitjacketed into a brand new isolated edition. You can pick and choose from it for all editions. So I wanted that, which I know sounds, for players who have never played Harnmaster, that sounds like that's not a thing, right? Because in all other games, you have everything sort of organized. But I think there are a couple other tables in Harnmaster Gold that were sort of game master only. You had various comparisons that needed to be made with opposed combat roles that I wanted to. Essentially, the mantra was get it on the character sheet, come up with a mechanic that streamlines it. There's another age-old Harnmaster table called a matrix. And basic role-playing has it, right? Because you roll an attack roll and a defensive roll.
Yep.
RuneQuest has a pretty extensive opposed table, right? Because they have five levels of success. Harnmaster has had its version of that in all editions, and it's a beloved aspect. I wanted it to be a little more, I felt like the game mechanic was simpler than what the matrices made it seem like. In some instances, especially in HM Gold, the matrices were too complicated. And the core idea of carry rolls his attack and succeeds, I fail on my defense, is a one level success. We can all do that. Success over a failure is a one, right? A critical success over a failure is a two. So that's all you need to know. You don't need a matrix for that. And so I don't want to go in too deep on the details of how that manifests in HMK, but it was something that I just from the start felt like needed simplification for a system that was already simple in a good way. And I guess the last category is what I would call corrective. Ring armor never really existed in Europe the way it has in RPG games. There are several sort of 1960s and 70s game design choices that were almost based on 19th century historical research. And they've been argued, and discussed at length, even on non-gaming sites. I would encourage anyone who hasn't discovered My Armory, myarmory.com. You'll get gamers that go there, but it's mostly just people who like to shout about armor and weapons and such. Not shout. They're actually quite cordial there, but informative. So there's been some correctives. You know, the other one that has been argued in academic books, The Great War Boat by Strickland and Hardy kind of introduced the debate surrounding the non-existence of the short bow. Dating back to Paleolithic times, single stave longbows have always been fairly long, roughly 5 to 7 feet, about the height. Their span matches the arm span of the user, and that the short bow was an erroneous interpretation of really the Bayeux Tapestry. Right, they look short to me, so they must have existed. And then you get into the cultural aspect of the English war bow and its effect on 14th century battles and this and that. And so it was, but there's been some pushback there, but essentially another corrective was that, you know, the compound bows are shorter because the design is utterly different, and they are about 4 feet, but there's no such thing as a 4 foot single stave bow unless it's for a child or in Harn, a gargoon. And it would be hugely almost inefficient, certainly underpowered, but that's another. So those were a couple of detailed correctives, but that's kind of that was my list of game design changes, you know.
It was enlightening.
Okay.
You know, it's always interesting to see how folks tackle these sorts of projects.
Right.
Especially when you have like a legacy that's in play that,
right,
with a long-standing tradition, and you know, you need to maintain, you know, whatever makes it Harnic and
sure
those sorts of things. For folks that are kind of new to Harn as a setting, we've got this. There is elements of a setting here. What would you recommend folks pick up along with HMK for their campaign?
Right. Let's see. KP released a product called Venarive, which is essentially the map from the map that you have shown here. I consider it the flagship product, a co-flagship product, but certainly for the last 10 or 15 years, written by Jeremy Baker. I think it was initially started by Robin Crosby himself, and Jeremy finished it in 2010, and it gives you the cultural detail that you need. It's a 250-page PDF. There's an extensive layered PDF map, which you're displaying, and it goes in, it shows you the languages, migration patterns. That's a great companion piece to HMK. It allowed HMK to just offer an introduction to Venarive in the world. And that freed up pages for all the routines that you talk about. So, you know, HMK is mostly the gaming, but it does give you an overview. I was a big fan. My favorite D&D setting was Greyhawk and is Greyhawk. And I was glad to see it just featured in their new Dungeon Master guide. And I always liked the old folio, the Greyhawk folio, where the entire section of the world, you know, each country had a paragraph of description. And that's not to you can get thousands and thousands of words on various kingdoms in Harn, but I find sometimes the scale, well, not sometimes, the scale that Venarive is written on is one that attracts me as a game master. Essentially, each kingdom is roughly a page or half page, and then you can of course dive into the individual kingdom modules beyond that. But I would Venarive would be required, I would say, to game with Harnmaster, HMK. One of the things that we're turning to that I mentioned in the and this gets back to publishing, a publishing strategy, is we need as Kalesia, and I say Kalesia Productions needs to make life easier for game masters. And look, I know, maybe for the last 20 years, maybe I'm assuming the argument has been settled that adventures do matter. I don't know. There's some sort of something coming out of WotC that, you know, adventures aren't profitable. I don't know where that, to me, that debate is over, that the game needs pre-published adventures so that new game masters can have some help. You know, the veterans who've been playing in Harn for 40 years, you know, they know what to do. They know where to go. But even veteran game masters can take published adventures and turn them, you know, tweak them the way they want. So Kalesia Productions is turning to greater attention to adventure publishing. I had hoped to have a free adventure. It was going to be chapter, would it be 9 or 10 in HMK, was originally going to be a 16-page intro adventure. But we finally had to draw the line at 436 pages. And a lot of that has to do with the weight of the shipping and that sort of whole thing. So you just can't get to 450. And there was nothing else I wanted to remove. So we've shifted the adventure that was going to be in the book to a yet released free download adventure. And
now, is that going to be the GM kit that's mentioned?
That's
in
the second
campaign
that's
section.
That is not. That's the second product that I'm turning to. I've got it about halfway finished. I had, and of course, 9 months out, you're always more optimistic about your workload and what can be turned out. You try to give some indication of what might be released, and then ultimately, when those months roll by, I'd hope to have the Game Master's kit out maybe by the end of this year. It'll be a first quarter release, which will not only three or four panel. I'm still tweaking the layout. We have the Game Master art done, and it'll be a starter campaign. Whereas the free PDF download is that will be up within a week or two is a 16-page pre-gen. I call it a quick start, but I know that term covers a lot of ground in our hobby, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get 60-page quick starts that allow you to do a rough version of character gen, you know, that give you, this is a quickest of the quick starts, where it's three pre-gens and 10 to 13 pages of adventure. You immediately start with the action. So it's serving as a slight, introduction and teaching adventure, right? For the dice rolls that we discussed, you do need a copy of the HMK PDF or book, when they arrive to play the free adventure. So it's not that level of, you couldn't print it off and go to your, and just hand it to someone who knows nothing about Harnmaster to play. That would be, those serve a purpose and would be nice. I will say, so those are the next two products I'm working on. The next world release will likely be the Kingdom of Polythenae module, which appears on your map above. Yeah, you can see the Gulf of Eder, and it's to the east of that, right? It's just
not
south.
Really sure.
It's south.
My head
of
in the way.
What's that?
My head.
Yeah,
in the
way? Just to the east of that. There's the. Okay. Polythenae, which is south of the Kingdom of Amelrene, which is a existing publication, that should be first quarter also, and it will have a Polythenae specific adventure that will hit on many of the themes of Polythenae, which is a very fractious, war torn. Actually, the most famous siege. Well, that's another element of. Harnmaster, if you're new, and this is one of the first videos about Harnmaster you're viewing, all Harnmaster products are released in the same year, the same game year, 720, first day of the year. That will likely, I would say that will never change. Now, when you publish adventures, by definition, they imply a passage of time, right? I mean, not everything's going to be just on the first hour. So there'll be some projections, but it'll still be essentially, so all the world material is a snapshot. And, it's not the first game to do that. In fact, the original Greyhawk, the original, Traveler, they all did that. Now, those two games probably in publishing terms made the mistake of advancing the timeline because they're usually pushback, right?
Famously in Traveler's case.
Yeah, but I'm a weirdo. I liked Mega Traveler, and I loved the Hard Times era. I was happy with the chaos, but I understand they've dialed it back to the original Imperium. Same way with Greyhawk. My favorite Greyhawk module was From the Ashes for you Greyhawk players out there, but it's been brought back to the original timeline. So Harn will probably never do that. It'll always be the year 720. So every published material will coordinate with each other. So then game masters take it for themselves and progress the time as they wish. So what I was going to say is there's surprisingly little or a few sieges going on in canon Harn published material. And that was obvious, you know, that was much more prevalent in the most of the Middle Ages. Siege warfare was more common than pitch battles. And so it's a little discordant that for all its realism, that there aren't more sieges. Well, the siege of Walleden is a town in eastern Polythenae that is, and it's a huge town, and it's going to be a large siege. So that's going to be part of the Polythenae publication and future publications, you know, future maps. And we're going to explore that pivotal current siege going on that started in the late fall of 719. And so everyone's taking their breath as the winter passes. And so when the curtain rises on 720, a full-blown siege is underway in a major city between the kingdom of Polythenae and the kingdom of Tritsen. So I'm excited about that publication. There it is.
That sounds fun. I'll be first in line for that one. So it sounds like we're hitting a bit of a renaissance here for Calestia's Harn productions.
Right.
Is everything else going, you know, planned for print, or is it going to be mostly PDF?
Of course, the Game Master screen, if all goes well, will obviously be print and PDF, but that would be that product. I really envision 32 or 64 page intro campaign with all the classic local maps, you know, that Harn is known for, interior maps. I want it to be, it is designed to be more of a sandbox where I describe the free 16 page adventure is very programmed, you know, point, there's three encounters, one leads to two, leads to three. But it's meant to be that way, as sort of a teachable sort of thing. You could even take, this is a sidebar on the free adventure. I think you could take the first encounter and take it to your local game store and play it as a demo, an hour or two demo run three pre-gen characters, or online. That's also why was designed to be very programmed and ready to go. The GM's kit will be more sandbox, where you have a premise, and technically the campaign in the Game Master's kit is tangentially or somewhat directly related to the free adventure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think people mind some guardrails when they're just trying to grapple with the rule system and develop a mental image of what the setting is and that sort of
thing. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's not. And that's how they all, you know, all the little intro adventures go that way. Call Cthulhu's and RuneQuest and this sort of thing. We have some other we're not ready to announce them for 2025. We have plans for them. Oh, well, one that is after the Game Master screen that I'm certainly turning to is the Maritime Rules. And I'll probably start, well, I'll definitely start with some previews of that at the start of this year. And then we'll take it from there. The hardback sales have been a success, and we're happy with how that's turned out and how that's progressing. And we'll just revisit each publication in terms of that. I'd like as important as in seminal as the Venarive publication was, I'd like to see it in hardback. And so a likely reprint and an expansion of it is certainly deserved, and maybe even, you know, so we'll turn to that in the next years coming. But
very cool.
Yeah, I would definitely describe it as a renaissance, and I'm excited to be a part of it. Appreciate the work of the entire team on the game, and it's been a long time, a long job, but it's exciting. Like I said, as we speak, trucks are on the way to our German shipping fulfiller, and I think the vessel is setting sail maybe this week for the Atlantic shore. So we're getting close to getting the hardback in people's hands.
Excellent. Yeah, we're a month out, month and a half out from U.S. delivery.
Email said. I think it's too close to the holidays. I've been advised that there'll probably be delays, and because of it, it's so close to Christmas and the shipping, you know, situation of middle December. But I think European,
just the way of things.
Yeah, right. I think our European customers could get the books mid December.
Cool. So this has been a 4-year project, 5-year project?
Kind of hard. It depends on where you date it. Longer if back in the days of, you know, some of these discussions, but definitely full bore the last 5 years in terms of play testing and just the art direction and just everything involved. It's been, I'd say, 5 years.
Well, congrats.
I appreciate it.
It's got to feel good to have that hitting shelves and hopefully hitting doorsteps soon. So, and of course, we've had the PDF since August. So that's been a good read, and I encourage everyone to go pick it up. Anything else that you want to put out there?
Let's see.
Personal projects or anything?
No, I've already shared, what I'm working on. You know, as we get off here, I had hoped to have the free adventure up in by the end of the start of November, but it just hasn't happened. So I'm turning to that, and over the next week or two, people can look for that. There's a full download section of weapons tables. You know, you can print off that unify things a little bit. In the book, they're kind of spread out with each with their own image. You know, it's kind of a nice experience in the book browsing through the various weapons. But there's a unified, you know, data table of the weapons, and there's a handful of various character sheets, several of which are auto calculating. Mm-hmm. And that's so you can go to the free stuff location on Calestria.com and see those, and that's where the adventure will be uploaded in the next couple of weeks.
Perfect. Well, I will link that in the description of this video.
Oh, I appreciate it. The other thing is our Discord channel. It's been active and fun. Calestria Productions Discord. Yeah, maybe throw that up too. Yeah,
I'll include that. I lurk over there, but I haven't. I haven't been active.
That's all right.
There's only so much time in the day.
Oh, I know. But, you know, if people have rules questions, I'm there. I'm usually answering them the day they're asked, and happy to meet other players. We've got a core group of people who are contributing their own, you know, character sheets and such. So it's going really well.
Yeah, and I think you guys have given the official blessing to GM Toasty for Harnmaster Foundry module.
Yes, that's another. Yeah. He's there's going to be several options, and we're still working out with him, and excited to he was actually just a direct playtest game master for HMK and had a lot of direct feedback on certain rule sets. But then in addition to his work on the Foundry, that actually is probably something else I should mention. We do have a Roll20 compendium. I wouldn't, it could be late 2025, I would say second half 2025. And then of course, Tom Rodriguez Toasty, his presence on Foundry, will include, an HMK, offering. So we're still working out the details of how that's gonna, and, you know, I don't want to, I was going to share a spoiler, but I won't. I don't want to embarrass him. I'll leave his announcements to himself. But he is involved in some of these adventures we're working on. I'll put it that way. So,
awesome.
He's been a great contributor.
Sounds like the future is very bright indeed. And we have a lot to look forward to.
Well, I appreciate your time, Carrie.
Thanks for joining me.